Cheater and the Rude with Jeff Kreisler and Lee Papa, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good evening, welcome to Cheater and the Rude with Lee Papa and Jeff Kreisler here on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Lee Papa.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And we're here tonight, just coming to you from New York City. Hey, you know what I read today, Jeff?
Was it instructions on diaper changing?
No, are you still hung up on this? Are you still hung up on
this? You know, we're not going to do the metaphor that we've done before, but we will talk about diaper changing. But first, tell me what you read today.
Well, you see, apparently Glenn Beck is he's leaving. He's leaving New York City. He's moving away. He's moving to Dallas.
He's moving to Dallas?
Yes, he is.
Everything's bigger in Texas, including the people that want to – why is he moving to Dallas besides the fact that New York –
because he hates us. He hates us here in New York. He said he doesn't hate like the physical, geographical New York City. What he hates are the people.
Well, are you sure what he hates isn't that he has no relevance anymore and he wants to go to a place of jackasses who might kind of like him in some way?
That could be it. That could be it. But on his radio show yesterday, he said of New York, it's the people who wreck it. I am so done with this city. I can't take it anymore.
What? How does he experience a city that he can't take it? Tell me he's like stuck on the platform in for the F train at 2 a.m. trying to get home to a wailing kid. Like, he's got it so good.
You know, I think too many people know who he is, and actually, I think probably people don't want to sell him meth anymore.
So he has to go elsewhere.
He has to go somewhere where he can get his meth.
Very well, to each his own.
Actually, what happened was the final straw. Do you want to hear what Glenn Beck's final straw was?
Don't ask. You just tell.
Okay. Glenn Beck's final straw was he was in his apartment building and he ran into a neighbor.
Oh, no.
And the neighbor was carrying a big portrait of Barack Obama in a package. And Beck told the man, good, I hope it looks nice in your house. And then the man's wife, this was in an elevator, and the man's wife entered the elevator. And according to Beck, said, ugh. We didn't know you still lived in this building.
And that's what was the final straw. Welcome to everybody in New York. Like, what is he, immune to the middle finger?
I know.
Jesus could walk down the street here and get the middle finger 20 times. Like,
Are you here now? Oh.
Great, now all my water is going to be all whiny.
Yes. Oh. Is it the rapture? Because, you see, I got things to do.
Yeah. That is, it's interesting that Glenn Beck is such a weak man. I guess when you're built as a house of cards and you're have nothing of substance inside of you, you can easily crumble. Because that's the one thing I always tell people about New York is you got to learn to basically get given the finger at every turn, whether it's a cab driver or a flood or locusts. And you got to have thick hide. You develop thick hide. And I guess Glenn Beck does not have thick hide because he's not a man of substance.
Well, he said, you know, he thinks that, look, can I quote him again? Can I quote him one more time?
Well, why not? He's got to get airtime somehow.
Yes. It's just these people who think they're so holier than thou and so much better that they don't even listen to another perspective. They just make judgments based on hearsay. And you know what the worst of it is?
They all have radio shows. Sorry, go ahead.
You know what the worst is? Those people listen in to other people's conversation. Those are the worst people. They just eavesdrop thinking that nobody notices that they're listening. Those people disgust me.
So, A, the people in Texas don't eavesdrop, question mark, and B, people that jump to snap judgments are a problem for Mr. George Soros Ruins the World. like and invest in gold? Is this the gist of the ironic hypocrisy in Glenn Beck's statement?
That would be the gist of it, yes.
Quelle douche.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
What a shower.
Yeah. A douche shower? A douche shower? Is that what you're saying?
No, a douche is shower in French, because I'm educated. I'm one of these East Coast liberal elites that's been edumacated, and I know that douche means shower.
Yeah,
but that's a problem.
We happen to live in America where, you know, there's, you know, oil and vinegar means douche.
Hey, speaking of oil
and vinegar, I'm sorry, water and vinegar. Oil and vinegar is a refreshing dressing for your salad. You would not want to douche with oil and vinegar. I do not wish to give the wrong information.
There is something here, though. Oil and vinegar, douching, tossed salad being sort of a term of art for a certain downtown behavior. Maybe you're onto a new fetish for vegans.
Oh, yeah. What would you call it? I guess you could call it
vinaigretting.
What is it?
Vinaigretting.
Vinaigretting. Vinaigretting. That's good. That's good. I was thinking perhaps croutoning.
All right. Sure. I mean, I'm trying to keep it low carb, but whatever you want to do.
Sure. So how's your week been, Jeff?
Here's what I've discovered. The first 2 weeks of fatherhood are largely based upon adrenaline and excitement at the newness and the possibility of a great future. Then the third week, you stop sleeping, you start realizing reality has changed and that your nominees are either Newt or Mitt. And it's the worst boy band that's ever been. And tax cuts, you're fucked.
But you see, you haven't seen the latest. You haven't seen the latest?
I don't know. What was the – it depends on what the latest is. I haven't seen anything today except for poo.
Man, can I just say your sort of feces-centric take on fatherhood, it's a little disturbing.
But here's what – I don't know if I've conveyed. This is a point of pride. Like I love a good poo, and I'm actually really proud of my son that he does it so well. It's all consuming. You know?
I would just like to point out what you're saying does not make it less disturbing. In fact, the fact that you're now elaborating with great joy and pride makes it just that more disturbing.
See, I think this is a classic case of you disagreeing with me.
Is that what it is? It's a classic case of disagreement.
I was trying to find the words to describe the visual in my head that somehow I'd worked my way to a metaphor of Michelle Bachmann's face coming out of Newt Gingrich's eyeball. And
what?
I'm tired, Lee. And the
that's not shit related at all. What the hell?
Are you kidding me? Michelle Bachmann and Newt Gingrich are not shit related?
No, Michelle Bachmann coming out of Newt Gingrich's eyeball. What is that?
I think what it was is that my initial reaction was, okay, shit coming out of an asshole. And so I had Michelle Bachmann's words coming out of Newt's asshole. But I'm trying to clean up our act. I'm trying not to be purely vulgar. I haven't even mentioned the scrote word yet tonight. And so I automatically shifted to something else. And I went from like one eye to the other. And then I was just bland and confused. And all this happened within like a nanosecond. Do you realize what is going on inside? I believe that all humans have little squirrels on a track running in their brain, right? I just, at the moment, have a lot of them, and some of them aren't getting any sleep.
I was going to say, your squirrels are drunk is what it sounds like.
My squirrels are awesome.
Yeah. So Newt Gingrich is he's kind of peaked, people are saying.
Damn it! I want him to get the nomination.
Yeah, he's sort of stalled out at about 35%, and now he's starting to fade again. And conservatives have lost their fucking minds. They're going crazy. The National Review, did you see this?
No, I haven't seen anything.
The National Review came out with an editorial begging conservatives not to nominate Newt.
Yeah, and some other people, I think I did see that. And Glenn Beck, of course, back to him, said something about no Newt. Why? I mean, Why? Just because they'll lose? They don't think they'll lose with Romney?
They think that Romney might be the only way that they can possibly appeal to the middle-of-the-road voter.
You know what? I bet you $10,000, that, et cetera, et cetera.
What are you betting me on?
That, I don't know. I just wanted to remind everyone that Romney made a $10,000 bet.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I don't know if Romney. Now that everyone starts to get a little close look at Romney, they're not going to like him. Like, I always thought all along he was the only guy that had a chance, but he is getting a little dirtied in this whole nominating process, and the Occupy thing and the movement about corporate power and the boardrooms being brought out are poorly timed for him. If he'd run in 2010, or no, if he'd run in early this year, he would have had a better chance, but I think he's going to get muddy. And I think our economy is going to turn around a little bit despite the best efforts of the obstructionists out there.
Yeah, but but you're right, though. But is there any other Republican? Do you think Newt is a better choice? And here we are. This is the stupid game that we on the left play, as if we actually give a shit which one they nominate, because none of them are going to beat Obama. That's the cocky thing that's going on the left right now, is that we know none of these idiots, none of these motherfuckers are going to touch Obama. So we can sit here and go, oh, yes, we'd rather run against Newt Gingrich because he's such a wad of fuck. But that does not mean that Romney has a shot in hell, or Perry or Santorum or Ron Paul, who's, by the way, having the time of his life destroying Newt Gingrich.
I like Ron Paul, not as a politician or someone I want as a leader, but it's like he's what he is real. He's a cranky old man. And that's all he's ever. He's not a fake reinvent. He hasn't reinvented himself.
No, he hasn't. That man has had the same beliefs since about 19. When was the first time he was in office? I think it was in the late 70s. Was the first time he was in office. He has had the same beliefs since then.
Was his first elective office conch holder on the Lord of the Flies island, wasn't that?
Yes, it was.
You're welcome. That joke is brought to you by Old Metaphors Unlimited. We bring things that are like other things to life so that you can laugh and feel good about yourself. I watched a Church Lady sketches earlier today. Remember Church Lady's Anna Carvey?
Yeah.
I kind of think that Ron Paul is sort of like the Church Lady.
I think of Ron Paul more as Don Knox, as Mr. Hurley.
Yes.
On Three's Company.
Yes.
Now, Jack, what are you doing with those girls?
Now, Bernanke, what are you doing with those money printers?
Yeah, see? It works.
Sexy time. Hey, you know what, Lee? I think we should take a break. What do you think about that?
Sure, we can take a break. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back right after you hear some of this song.
Radio Network.
Cheater in the Rude. This is Lee Papa, writer of the blog The Rude Pundit.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler, frequent reader of the blog The Rude Pundit, but also writer of many other things myself. Lately, I've been working over at thefinaledition.com. Check that out.
Yes, The Final Edition, a funny, online newspaper satire. That is not The Onion.
So, Lee, have you ever made out with Ron Paul?
I have never had the pleasure of making out with Ron Paul, and I do believe it would be a distinct pleasure. However, Ron Paul, he just wants to fucking destroy Newt Gingrich. Do you know why he wants to destroy Newt Gingrich? I love using you as my questioning sounding board, by the way.
This is great, because at the moment I really don't know much, so perfect.
He is still mad that Newt Gingrich, when he was Speaker of the House and Ron Paul was running for Congress in 1996, that Gingrich, unlike other members of the GOP in other years, other speakers of the House and other leaders of the Republican Party, Gingrich got involved in a primary challenge, in a primary, and endorsed one Republican over Ron Paul. And so ever since then, Ron Paul has hated Newt Gingrich. So he is just – this is payback time, motherfuckers. This is payback time. So Ron Paul put out this ad accusing Gingrich of serial hypocrisy. And now today, he was just on Fox News with Megyn Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And he said to Megyn Kelly, there was one other issue I personally found annoying. He talking about Newt, he's probably as aggressive with the military as anybody. He supports all the wars in the Middle East, 1,000 times more than if I would. But in the 1960s, when he was drafted, he got several deferments. He chose not to go, but he will send our kids to war. He said one person wouldn't make a difference. He didn't know how he could make a difference. I see that as important information. People should know that, and it reflects on him. Ron Paul is not taking this shit. Ron Paul will fuck you up.
But Ron Paul forgets we don't care if they're draft dodgers. Didn't we learn that? Didn't we elect the draft dodgers to be our leaders during the time of war in 04?
Yeah, well, he wasn't a draft dodger. Well, we had a draft deferrer in Cheney, and then we had the guy that didn't complete his nursery school training in the Texas Air National Guard.
You know, I think that Ron Paul should be nominated to be the head of the Fed. I think whoever gets the next thing should have him replace Bernanke.
So you just want to see – you want to see Ron Paul's head explode is what you're saying.
Yeah, I want to see what happens. It's like shit, there's some metaphor there. Like when you get when finally you're given the power. Let me step back and like let's fit this into this. Something happened this week that kind of touched me. And that was someone sent me there was some Occupy protests at some Ivy League campuses at recruiting sessions by like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. And what struck me about this was, you know, it's easy enough to like yell against the corruption and the financial incentives and the greed from a distance. But to do it in the face of someone offering you a lifetime of material comfort based upon that greed, so like basically spit in the hand holding out the golden chalice, is another thing. And so I found that very interesting that when confronted with the opportunity to join the quote-unquote evil, people have chosen to deny that, to yell at it. And I sometimes wonder what people that rail against political power would do if given it. I mean, the classic is Ron Paul against the Fed, but even all these leaders that are saying that it's been said before, they're running anti-government. They want to lead the government on an anti-government platform. In other words, they hate the presidency, but they want the presidency.
Right.
And so it's always curious to me that people that in all walks of life, political or otherwise, like I hate my boss, but if given the chance to be your boss, you would embrace it.
There are government employees that don't think that the government creates jobs.
Exactly.
They hire staffs that are on the government payroll, but they don't think that the government creates jobs.
So I often wonder if it's a matter of political convenience, hypocrisy, or just genuine ignorance. Speaking of genuine, didn't Christine O'Donnell do something this week, today?
She endorsed Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
She endorsed Mitt Romney, and so you've got a witch-endorsed Mormon that is the front runner.
I dig.
Yeah, a witch-endorsed Mormon. I mean, that's what we've got here. And now
she turned She turned all of Romney's opponents into a newt. Huh? 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 Anybody? Monty Python? No? Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes, yes. Oh, look, a newt. Speaking of newt, one more thing about newt. The National Organization for Marriage, NOM. You're familiar with them, aren't you?
Yeah. Nom, nom, nom. Yeah.
Yes. They, because Newt signed their pledge defending marriage, the National Organization for Marriage has released a statement commending Newt Gingrich for signing their marriage pledge and committing himself to play a leadership role as a president to preserve marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
He is defending as many marriages as possible.
Well, I guess so. I guess he's always been married to just one woman. He's been, you know, banging other women on the side, but he's committed this time to marriage.
Well, he's going to defend it. He's going to make sure that if anyone wants to attack his marriage, they do it vagina first.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, have you seen Callista? You know what it gets me about Callista Gingrich?
No. Again, you're asking a question that I know you don't really want me to respond to, so now what?
No. I want to include you in my thought processes. She now looks like almost a mirror image of Gingrich. That her hair is actually the same hair as Gingrich, but parted to a different side. And her face has now been contorted in such a way that Newt must, when they have sex, it must be like Newt's just fucking funhouse mirror image of himself.
But that's exactly what he wants.
Exactly.
You know, Newt would be the first sign up for cloning if he could have sex with his own self.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's this the insanity of this race. Did you see the debate this past Saturday? That's a real question. That's actually a real question. Did you see the debate this past Saturday?
Well, here's a real answer. If it was the debate between my son's poop, et cetera, no, I didn't. I heard about the debate and I saw highlights. That was the $10,000 bet debate, right?
That was the $10,000 bet debate.
Do I need to see these debates anymore? Do I need to like get angry? I've seen enough of. I've seen. Go on. Tell me what you have to say.
Well, it was also the debate where they asked them if marriage infidelity, if fidelity to marriage was an issue, and I got to tell you, Gingrich actually handled it well. It was essentially like, you fucking know what I did. I won't do it again, so blow me. If you don't like it, blow me.
Wouldn't that lead him to that? Wasn't that what started the trouble? The blowing him?
Yes, yes. I think that was more of a Clinton thing. No, you're right. No, it wasn't. It was Newt. Because Newt actually did say that he only wanted to have oral sex because it wasn't really sex. What is it with the Southerners? Only, you know, getting blowjobs and thinking that it's not sex. If it involves your penis, it's sex.
Well, but here's the thing. You can't get pregnant, right? It's like the people that do the marriage, the virginity vows thing, but then have anal sex. Or, you know, sleeping with your cousin, but not adopting the kid. I don't know what that means. He's awesome. Newt is like, he's a well-spoken, well-groomed white man. You know, he's got oratory slickness. And I didn't think the right liked that.
Oratorical slickness?
Exactly. No, I think I said oratory, but I like oratory. Oratory. Oh, my kid.
You got to be careful what happens when you get around some of that oratorical slickness.
Well, you know, oratorial slickness is not the same as sexual complicity.
Yes, I suppose. I suppose not.
Do you ever think? That's it. That's all I got. Lee, and listeners, here's the thing. I often wonder, how do people go on with, I mean, the absurdity of life and politics already was crippling me. And now this having a child thing, it's just, what's the, when do we colonize Mars? Maybe that's why I should vote for Newt so we can go to space.
Well, now, you know, I actually have a bit of a story that I can tell you. And
all right, you got 3 minutes, and then I got a would you rather.
Okay. So my story is that that NASA has built – this is real. This gets to your space Mars thing. NASA has built a 6-foot crossbow to harpoon comets. This is absolutely true. They are working on a harpoon gun so that they can spear a comet and sample it. And they have to keep this in the lab. They have to keep it pointed down because if it actually goes, it could shoot the arrow a mile. So we're gonna fucking send a ship into space, and then we are going to harpoon with a crossbow a comet. That's the awesomest thing I've heard in weeks. That sounds like something Newt Gingrich would come up with. You know what we should do? We should harpoon a comet.
You know what we should do? We should have all the poor kids who would form the cable behind the comet. We could do like a human centipede with all the poor kids that aren't working as janitors so that we can hold on and the comet could swing by. And as the comet with the rope that's made up from the human centipede poor kids swings around the planet, that would generate enough energy that we could finally be free of fossil fuels. And listen, speaking of being free of fossil fuels, next week I want to talk about – I had a conversation with an engineer about some of the hydroelectric possibility in waves. And another thing – Lee, are you ready for a would you rather?
I'm totally ready for a would you rather.
Would you rather every show that we do from now on begins with me stretching the metaphor of poo in my son's scrotum equaling our political debate? Or would you like to clean the poo from Newt Gingrich's scrotum?
You know, I think that's actually a question for the ages. And one that we should let our listeners actually have to grapple with and think about and keep them warm through these pre-Christmas nights. Because truly, there is no correct answer to that. Truly.
Isn't this the original story of Christmas, actually?
Yeah, I think so. I guess that would have been part of it. I guess that Joseph or Mary would have had to have cleaned shit off of baby Jesus' scrotum.
And you have listened to another episode of Cheater and the Rude here on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Jeff Chrysler. You can check me out on Twitter at Jeff Chrysler. You can check us both out on Facebook. Go to Cheater and the Rude. Come on, we need some friends over there. Lee, what do you got?
And you can always follow me on Twitter at Rude Pundit. You can buy my book, 2012 edition, Rude Pundit's Almanac. Go to my website and you'll see more about it, orbooks.com.
Happy 50th birthday, Bill Hicks, tomorrow. See you guys next week.